listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Boy, oh boy, that was kind of ominous, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the way he says that?
We're ready to go. I think he kind of, I always look over my shoulder just to see if
Is
he's
there?
Standing there.
Ed Hall. Ed Hall, are you there?
I want Ed Hall there, too. That would be great, man. That would be excellent. All our buddies from the show. My
exactly.
goodness. Michael, how you doing? You holding up okay?
Yeah, considering the fact that this is the first day of the move. The I swear to God, it's going to be for the rest of my life. I said it on the last house, this house that I'm in for 8 years, but I am moving. And my people, my friends, and my housekeeper and the moving people showed up today to deliver things and start packing, and I'm so glad that I'm not there at the moment.
Wow. Yeah. You abandoned them and came in to see us. I like
it. Sorry,
I
got to go to work. But I'm going
Good
back
excuse.
To help them.
Now, how the puppies handling it? Are
puppies
they okay?
are confused.
Yeah, they're like, why is everybody taking my stuff?
Yeah, why are there so many people here?
Right.
Who are they?
That's right.
But,
wow.
Yeah, it'll all be a good thing. I'm turning it into a positive because I never thought I was going to move out of this house.
Moving on up.
Yeah.
Moving on up. No doubt about
so.
It. Good
Where,
stuff
to
going
the
on.
East side?
To the I got to grab that sound clip from somewhere, man.
To the west side, however. To the west side of
Just
us.
Past the 101, right?
In the beautiful city of Encino.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Good neighborhoods. Lots of good stuff going on there.
Yeah.
Michael, we got some fun going on today. Here it is, Michael, the 26th of April.
Yeah,
and we really have. We have a great show in store today, don't we?
We surely do. I told you never to call me Shirley. Andrew, we have with us today a powerhouse vocalist who will be telling us all about her tremendous musical career and an exciting upcoming European tour. Please welcome Danielle DeAndrea.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Hello. Yeah.
Also joining us as a special treat is a man who shares her last name. What a coincidence. Her husband, partner in crime, and amazing guitar player, Kyle, is here. Welcome, 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 my friend.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
So glad to have you, buddy. So glad. How you guys been? Are you excited about what's coming up?
What's coming up, and really excited about being here today.
That's right.
We're
I think this is my first
you.
Radio interview in Los Angeles.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
My. You'll never be the same after this.
Never.
I'm telling you, state of the arts. It's the pinnacle of anybody's
there
career, really.
I'm done now.
Well, we are thrilled to have you, and I've loved listening to your music over these past few days, getting to know you a little bit.
Thank you.
Really fun stuff.
Thank you so
and
much.
And I have loved listening to her accent for the last 15 minutes.
I told them about your Siri voice.
Oh, yes, yes.
I heard you have a Siri
voice. And sometimes he does not understand what I'm saying.
Of course.
And I'm thinking it's because I don't speak like
you. Because you talk wrong, that's right.
Right? So I have to get the Australian accent down.
That's
yeah, it's
right.
It's like when I have to do things here, if I'm speaking to someone on the phone or ordering a takeout menu, I have to speak with an American accent, otherwise they don't understand me.
Oh,
if
funny.
I say two orders, they go, what? I have to say two waters.
Oh.
It's water.
Or
we say water.
Bills,
they
know,
say
paying
water.
Bills with the automated,
bills.
Oh, right.
She's got to get
four,
really
and we say four.
Four. Yeah.
You know, four, five. Everything's longer.
$100.
We shorten everything.
So funny.
I love Australia. I've been
I know
there.
We love you guys.
Yeah, you know, well, Australia is similarly beautiful, as is America. You know, I kind of felt at home when I was there.
Yeah, where I'm from,
but the people are nicer.
You think?
I think so.
Well,
the Australians
lovely.
Are nicer.
It's
yeah.
lovely. I've got lovely friends here, too, though, I have to
yeah.
admit.
Yeah. Well, for sure,
here.
We all have those people.
I do have to agree with you, though. I mean, for the most part, it's, you know.
They're very welcoming.
We're
welcoming
a bit more relaxed,
yeah.
I think.
It is. Yeah, welcoming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have well, you ever been, Andrew?
I've never been, although, I mean, the Opera House there and all the things that I've seen, it just looks like such a wonderful, magical place in so many ways. I kind of didn't think it existed for a while. Oh, well, there's this continent that's also a country in the middle of the ocean. What?
In the middle of
Atlantis?
The ocean.
What are you talking about, man? You see all these beautiful pictures, so wide open. But it's true. Every Australian I've ever met here is very welcoming, very open, very fun, very easygoing. I love
they
that.
They could only make the trip about 11 hours shorter.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Or make the planes significantly more comfortable.
Or faster.
So. That's true.
That,
now,
yeah.
What tours did you travel with to Australia?
I was
Michael?
Representing Donnie and Marie Osmond.
Oh, my God.
And the Osmond brothers.
Aren't
they great?
Oh, my God. I love them. So I grew up watching them. Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
We played the, you know, all the major cities, and it was a fascinating experience because of their, especially with Marie was just coming into the act at that time.
Right. Oh, wow.
So it was a big deal for people to see her live, and she had Paper Roses, the song was her first.
Paper Roses.
Yeah. There you go. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
On the radio, and I will tell you a funny story quickly. Do we have some time?
Of course.
We played Her Majesty's, or rather, I took them. We played an arena down there,
uh-huh.
but for a day off, you know, they had a couple of days off, and we were staying at a hotel that's right in the. There's a particular section.
Was it in the King's Cross in
yes,
Sydney?
Yes, yes,
the
yes,
Siebel?
Yes.
The Siebel Hotel is very famous. It's where all the stars used to stay. It's not
probably,
there anymore.
And probably.
It was famous. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, and they had the whole. We had the whole top floor for
right.
the entire. Crew and us, and I would hang out with the boys and Donnie, and Donnie would have to go to the windows every 10 minutes or so because there were thousands of kids down below chanting his name.
Of course.
Wow.
So he'd go over there and he'd just wave, and that would take care of them for a minute or so. And then I'd do it. I put on his jacket and I do it, and they didn't know. And
you're like, yeah, yeah.
If any of you are listening, don't. I didn't. It wasn't out of malice. Believe me. It was just to give the
say
kid
poor Mr. Osmond's feet. You know, walking back and forth, treading across that carpet. My goodness.
But they wanted to see a musical that was playing at Her Majesty's Royal Theatre.
Sure.
Which is not there either anymore.
No.
Really.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
What musical was it?
It was called Irene.
Oh, Irene, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Irene.
Yeah.
And it was with some big Australian star, and it was on Broadway with Debbie Reynolds in the mm-hmm. title role.
Right.
So I had to actually maneuver getting out of the hotel and the cars and everything.
Oh, no.
Going through...
Through King's Cross to Her Majesty's down. I know.
Yeah.
I know the drive.
My goodness.
The and we thought... we were free and clear... of the kids, you know, because they didn't figure out where the cars went at the time and so forth. We're in the show is in progress, and all of a sudden you hear the doors from the lobby into the theater just open and screaming kids coming into the theater, screaming during the performance, trying to find Donnie and Marie, and
oh,
they
no.
did. I
no,
mean, they
yeah.
were leaping over seats, and
wow.
they had to stop the production for 45 minutes
wow.
to get the kids
to calm
out.
Them down as well.
to get yeah. them out.
Poor Donnie. They must have felt so terrible, too, because that you want to be inconspicuous when you go
yeah.
out as much as you can. That's
yeah.
just, it's got to be so... And they always handle stuff with such grace, too.
They did yeah. with that, too, but and yeah. they were more concerned for the actors, not themselves.
I'm sure, of course,
and
they were.
For the
actors,
show, yeah.
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 And the second they everything, you know, goes clear, the performance resumed exactly in the same spot that it
oh, wow.
stopped
yeah,
in.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that,
I just
Michael.
Remember
that's
every
story,
the Friday or Saturday, whenever their show was on, it was like the thing we all had to watch.
Right, of course.
Because my mum's a dance teacher. I grew up in the like dancing and singing. And that show, Donnie Marie, are you kidding me? It was like, please, we have to be home in time.
Wow.
For it. I watched it every, loved it. And Jimmy Osmond, my mum had his records. Amazing.
I was once on a plane. I had a buddy who was a pilot for Delta, and whenever he was in L.A., we'd go see him. And this time, we stopped in the cockpit and said hi, and I was walking out, and Donnie Osmond was there, and I was wearing a fedora, a pork pie hat. And he goes, nice hat. And I looked down, it's Donnie Osmond. And I said, that's Donnie Osmond, who just complimented my hat. And so I stood up, and I said, well, you mind taking a quick picture with me? And, you know, he said, as long as I can wear the hat, put the hat on. It's just so welcoming, so kind, and very gracious. And, of course, I'd seen him in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. I thought it was such a definitive performance. And it was just really cool. It was a very open, honest, kind person there. It was nice to meet.
Well, you know, they are exactly that.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they are. Fame has never really gone to their head, and they have... When they appeared in concert for their very first time together here in Los Angeles, they had never done that. That just the two of them,
wow.
without the support of their brothers,
yeah.
and in this city anyway. And you know, they're headliners in Las Vegas. They're on their fifth,
Flamingo,
sixth
isn't it?
Year.
They got their own longer, I think.
Yeah,
been there for so long.
Huge.
Huge.
It's huge. It is the like one of the number top five shows in Las Vegas.
Unbelievable.
And their Christmas show was to kick ass. Yeah. Just, oh, did I say something wrong?
Irreverent? Oh, my goodness.
Sound like an Aussie doesn't sound as bad. Kick ass. It's kind of posh. It's okay. Yeah,
that's right. State of the arts in the gutter today. I like it. I like it. Well, look, we need to pay some bills.
We do.
Let's thank our sponsors, and then we're going to come back and play a little bit of the music that we're going to get to hear some more about today.
Heck yeah. We do indeed. So we'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2018, a pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences. Only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new kind of way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel. At the end of each month from September to August, one lucky winner listening to this program will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. So make sure that you enter every month for your chance to win.
And if you're looking for someone to go, Michael and I are both available.
That's correct.
Call us up.
That's correct.
Just zip onto our page at LA Talk Radio and you'll see the Princess Cruise logo. Click on that, the form will pop up for you to enter. And obviously, there's no cost to enter into that. And what a great prize that is.
Absolutely.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
We are indeed, and to Mike Napoli and his crew there. Thank you, Mike, for 7.5 wonderful years with you.
That's right.
Yeah, and before we get into the thick of things of talking with our gorgeous lady guest.
I thought he was going to say gorgeous co-host. He never, never
did. I started
to. He told me before that you were gorgeous.
Thank you.
Dude, he just doesn't want to say it to you.
Wouldn't say it to my face. Where did I get
it? Don't tell
him
I'm saying this, but he's very gorgeous.
He has gorgeous hair.
Yeah, he does.
It's fallen out little by little, man. I tell you, by the end of the show, I'm going to be completely bald. So.
And Kyle isn't so bad either.
We always have, you know, we have some really sharp-looking guests lately.
The bar of beauty is raised.
We're wasting all these good-looking people on the radio.
What's happened up? So, I just want to know what your week was like. That's all. Tell me what your week was like.
Well, obviously, you and I the week previously had gone to see South Pacific.
Yes.
Had a good time
fantastic
there.
Fantastic show at the Valley Performing Arts Center.
Next week, we're headed down to the Pantages. So I'm going to be down there, and our great people, Benny and all them down there, are going to have some good stuff going on at the Pantages Theater coming up. Truly one of the best houses here in Southern California.
I love the theater.
It's iconic. Just what a wonderful trip down there. But out and about, and obviously school coming to an end, so lots of craziness
going on. We're
going
to see School of Rock at the Pantages.
School of Rock.
Yeah.
What a
going
cool,
to the opening.
Cool show. So that's going to be a lot of fun, too. But lots of good stuff going on. Have you seen how many shows are listed right now on Performing Arts Live?
Yes.
I logged on to do our live arts calendar, and it was just endless. So lots of good opportunities for people to get out there and see the live and performing arts.
And as we say, you know, we're very much advocates for people getting away from their television sets and their remotes and taking their children and taking them out to see appropriate live theater if it affects the children at all, but to go out and support the arts, because if you don't, they won't be around.
That's right, and what a great way that is for children to be exposed to that and then have the opportunity to use those as cathartic tools as they grow up. So many people come on this show and say, you know, I was terribly shy, or we had a gentleman who was a stutterer, and all these things worked through it, through theater, which is a cool thing. So keep those alive, if not for your own sake, which is certainly valuable for, certainly for your children, too.
Absolutely.
I would like to, if it's all right, go ahead and play a song. And kind of introduce people to what you do, which is so enthralling and
thank
just
you.
Enjoy to listen to. What song would you like me to play first?
Growing Up.
Would you go ahead and give a little intro about what this is about?
Oh, okay. I wrote this song with David Hurst-Bateau, and it's about growing up, which I'll never do. It's about a couple that are very in love. And my dearest best friends, Anna Orbison and James Orbison, actually, he proposed to her with this song.
Great friends of the show.
Yes.
This is
and
Sound of
Bells.
That's
so
right. That's
without
right.
them,
we love
I wouldn't
them.
Be here. So.
Two amazing people, and obviously the band and Sound of Ghost is another of our favorites here. This piece is wonderful and certainly means a lot to me because of that. I think everybody's going to love it. Here we go, Growing Up. Fan travel you have going on. That's amazing. I just posted a picture on Instagram about this album, The Call, which is such a great album. But that piece was called Growing Up. Such a beautiful, ethereal feel. Yeah. I just love that.
Unique sound.
Yeah.
Thank you, Danielle.
Very, very, very special.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, just lovely to listen to. And we're going to hear more throughout the program, right?
No doubt. No doubt about it. Absolutely. I think you think we can convince them to play live at some point?
You think?
Let's
try.
Do
it. Do we have to pay them?
No. They're artists. They'll do it for nothing, man.
Come on, what do you need to do?
We got the doors locked. Let's jump on this, man. We never get artists locked in here with guitars.
Just don't tell anybody.
That's right. All end right. of the show. We'll push for that. Yeah. So obviously, so much cool stuff going on. First off, can you tell us how you guys met? What a cool story.
We haven't even given her introduction yet.
Do you want to do that?
I think we should.
Let's do it. Now, we only have one intro for you.
Another introduction? Wow.
No, yeah. You get a proper introduction.
We'd like to give you...
I've just had a song on the radio in America. Do you know how excited I am about that?
A very proper hit. Thank you.
We don't mess around on State of the Arts. Now, we should say that Kyle and Danny are here today because we heard their music and obviously friends of the show and all that sort of thing. But this woman has been working for many, many years doing great, great things here in Los Angeles and around the world. And what we're promoting today is your European tour that's coming up, correct?
Uh-huh.
What are the dates of that? When does that start?
Well, we leave on the 1st of May and our first show is the 3rd of May. And we're opening for Gabby Moreno, who's from Guatemala. But she lives in Los Angeles. She's a Grammy-winning artist. She's unbelievable. And she insisted that we open for her. So she went and fought with all the bookers in Germany that usually get the local acts and said, I want her. And we're going to go. So we're going for a whole month. We go to Switzerland, Latvia, a lot of different places. It's very exciting.
Wonderful.
Sweet.
Wonderful friends there.
Well, the voice you just heard is obviously the one we're talking to today and the beautiful music that just came out of those beautiful speakers on your phone or on your car nowadays. You can take her with you anywhere you go. Through her classic songwriting and dynamic vocals, our first guest is making her presence felt on the international music scene.
And in an emotional and powerful live performer, she has headlined solo shows in Los Angeles, New York, Singapore, London, and Paris, and regularly fronts the Song and Dance Society. She has also collaborated on Leaving the Ozone, featured in the IMAX movie Dolphins and Whales.
Having already established an impressive resume as an elite backing vocal artist, touring, recording, and duets with the likes of James Brown, Joe Cocker, Tom Jones, Sting, and Ariana Grande, to name just a few, she has made the leap to center stage to become a formidable solo artist in her own right.
Her forthcoming solo album has been recorded at Capitol Records and Sunset Sound. Her voice makes up one-third of the acclaimed three-part harmony group, The Songbirds.
Mm-hmm.
And we are very excited and pleased to have her with us in studio today with her husband, Kyle. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a singularly spectacular songstress, Danielle D'Andrea.
That's right.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, now, we've obviously had a chance to talk a little bit just kind of leading up to this, but would you tell us the story about how you guys met and kind of that sort of thing? Because I think it's so pivotal in your music and kind of the phases you've gone through as I look at some of what you've done.
Yeah, I would love to share that. I came over here on the last day of April 2006, and I was going through a divorce from my first husband in Australia, and I didn't leave my brother's house for 4 months because I was devastated, not because he was leaving me, but that I'd wasted so much time with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I was crying, and my brother came in and he said, you need to go and see some music. You've been here for 4 months and seen nobody. Why don't you go and find out who's playing
at
a hotel cafe? So I get online, and I see an Australian really good friend of mine playing, and he says, come down to the gig tonight. I'll introduce you to my friends. He introduced me to Kyle. We start dating. 6 months later, we got married.
Wow.
Yeah. And we were in a really bad car accident. Both my wrists were broken the first month of dating.
She summed it up pretty quick. I actually said to one of my best friends, I said, I think I just met my wife, which was
the very first time you met me.
Yeah. That was. And then kind of from that moment on, we were pretty much inseparable. I mean, I've tried to see her at least 4 times a week.
And then we had the car accident. And we started dating and... both of my wrists were broken and I had pins in my arm and plaster cast from here to here. I couldn't do anything. So he moved into his mother's and he moved me into his mother's and he completely took care of me. And I remember my mother calling me from Australia and saying, darling, he's a good one. Don't you lose that one. Like, you know, I remember her saying it really loudly. And I said, I think he wants to marry me. And she goes, go for it. And I said, really? Morally, you're cool with that? I just got divorced. And yes, you're not going to find anyone better than that. He's seen you at your worst. So we got married 6 months later.
Mom's seal of approval.
Years. Yeah. So that's the story.
What was it, Kyle, that attracted you to her at the beginning?
When I first met her, she had this Dodgers cap on, and we were in the hotel cafe had that smoking lounge in the back that had an old piano and whatnot. So after my friend's show, we went back there and we were just jamming. And then, you know, in the shadows, this mysterious girl with her baseball cap on was kind of our friend Ray was like, come on, Danny, sing something. And then as soon as she opened her mouth, I had to stop playing, and I was just completely taken. And then shortly after that, I mean, we kind of played for a bit, and then we started to chat, and I was just completely taken.
It's that Australian accent.
It's the Aussie accent. It's everything about Danielle, you know, you'll realize hanging here today, but she's just a force, you know, and the kindness, it just... she wears her kindness and her love on her sleeve constantly. Mm-hmm. So it's just it really tackled me pretty much. So
sweet. I tried to play How sweet it is
off.
That?
Yeah. I tried to play it off for as long as possible, but I was really just taken.
You tried to stay cool, and then you're like,
I was
yeah, done with this
one.
I
trying to play it off, but it didn't work.
Got to say what's right.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, here's to many, many more years of
Thank
marriage
you.
And
Thank you very
love.
Much.
And music making, man.
Kind.
These two are great musicians together.
Yes, they are.
I love
Thank
that.
You very
Obviously,
much.
We've seen that with James and Anna as well. But
yeah,
it's cool when you're a music making couple. It's a fun thing. And if you can survive that together, you know, then you know it can go on forever because that's a creative opportunity that sometimes, you know, is a divisive one. So.
That's right. I mean, we always, it's a constant challenge to keep ourselves in the right headspace and you know, I mean, this is what we love. This is what we do every day, all day. So, I mean, it's really, to have a partner in crime in that is a real special thing that we don't take for granted. I mean, you know, it's, as we know, I grew up in the film business, so I've seen a lot of relationships kind of
come and go,
and crumble because of, you know, egos and everything else. So it's a real challenge to just kind of stay in the right headspace. And, you know, we love each other. We love what we do. So it's just...
What did you do in the film business?
Oh, I grew up in the film business. My mother's a hairstylist. So I traveled most of my childhood up until sort of teenage years, and then she wanted me to kind of, she wanted to stay local. Mm-hmm. But she's
got like five Emmys for doing hair on movies.
Really?
Wow. I'm going to say this because she is the best woman ever.
Yeah,
Linda Dion Graham, my mother-in-law. We're so close with the same star sign. She's like my big sister.
You should take her on the road with you.
Yeah, we're trying. She's just retired.
Awesome.
She's finally just retired, so we're trying to talk her into it.
She's listening, so hi, gorgeous.
Yeah. I grew up in that, and then I had to get into the music business, though. My mother's a painter. That's what she did before she got into the business, so... Mm-hmm. I started out as an artist, but I wanted to do music. So it was just more challenging for me and more.
Well, you have to do what fills your soul.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Good for you. Good
the
choice.
Voice you're
Thank
listening
you
to
much.
Is Kyle DeAndrea, who's obviously the guitar player, producer, graphic designer. What else do you do? You're also the roadie, obviously. I saw you carrying in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at this point, we're still carrying our own gear. But, you know.
I started making my own merch.
Yeah.
You bought a machine.
Nice.
And he's got
I got a machine now. I mean, you know,
great stuff.
Being a musician in 2018 is about diversifying, as many people know. And, you know, so I just kind of take it upon myself to do the graphic work. I just teach myself these things and try to do it as best I can, you know, and it's working out so far. You know, I like what's coming out, the branding that we're doing, the imagery that we're using. It's all stuff that we've just collected through photos. And
cool.
Like the cover of The Call, for instance, is a kind of a collage of different
Beautiful.
Theaters and photos that I've taken on my travels and whatnot.
Very
and,
nice.
And then we kind of piece things together. But yeah, it's just, like I said, I mean, we have to diversify. She's such a powerhouse, and I feel that she deserves to have all of those other things covered as much as I can do, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, and again, we just posted a picture of The Call, the album The Call, which of course is available everywhere, iTunes and all that jazz, of course. We posted that on Instagram at State of the Arts LA, and people can go there and see that and certainly go Google that and find the tracks themselves. Can you tell me if you started working together first and then dating?
Oh,
if it was so...
We were both obviously very attracted to each other from the beginning, and you know, I build furniture and I do quite a few different things. So when she started coming over and just hanging out while I was building something, I'm like, I'm just cutting here and, you know, and staining. And she
just wanted to be around.
I'll
just wash the dishes and watch you.
Yeah. And in the beginning, I was kind of like, why is this girl hanging around? I mean, I'm not doing anything that usually interests women. So, you know.
If I ever wash the dishes, my wife would love to watch too. She'd be thrilled to see that just one time, you know.
So, and then, I mean, she just started getting some gigs. And she's like, you want to play? And so at that point, I wasn't really playing. I was doing a lot of prop making and carpentry and welding and all this other creative stuff that I do. But she kind of pulled me back into it, and we started playing slowly, more regularly. And then in the very beginning, she had a 10-piece band. It was like she just wanted to go for it. And now we did a little bit of a drop down to 4-piece and then a duo, and now we've worked ourselves back up to...
We
so
just launched on the weekend, and I had
a nine-piece band
at the Hotel Cafe. It was great.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you regularly play at the Hotel Cafe?
I have done, yes.
Do you gig anywhere else?
Oh,
I'd
like
to, but the thing is, we moved to Nashville a couple of years ago, and now we're back in L.A., so we've been in Nashville.
Yeah. So yeah, like, but I'm talking about in Los Angeles.
I want to go to the next level now.
So in the Los Angeles area, yeah, I mean, we play around with bootleg and various, you know,
we've done you know, Molly Malone's and all those places that usual hangs, you know.
Do you have a following of people?
Getting it together. I'd like to do more jazz clubs, and you know, I'd love to do a bit more.
You should do Sterling's upstairs at the Federal.
I would love to. I actually did upstairs at the Federal a few years ago, but it wasn't Sterling's then.
Yeah.
I would love to. I love that room. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's great. And my friend, some of our friends.
Bruce Foreman plays the Federal on a Sunday in the day downstairs a lot.
Yep.
He's a good friend of mine.
Yes, but it's rough to work downstairs.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
So you have to come up and headline my room.
Your room?
Yeah.
Wonderful. You have a room?
That's it.
Yeah, I would Sterling's love to do upstairs. That. I'd love to do that.
Don't you think, Andrew?
There's no doubt.
We should set this up when I'm back in July. Like, I want to come and play, and we should set it up. Yeah. We could put a great jazz band together.
And I want to see Sound of Ghost up there, too. I think we could do a whole month of entertainment with some of these great bands around here. There's no doubt about it. Yeah.
Yeah, change it up a little bit.
Since we launched the call last year, we did UK, we did some shows in Italy. So we've been kind of trying to do the response in Europe for this last record, at least, has been really great. So we did, like I said, the UK, Italy, some Germany dates and whatnot. Now we're going back there again. So, and then in July, we're gearing up to do the West Coast area a little bit more. And
We put the record out, and sadly, I lost my mother, and she was the reason why I sing. And so everything went on hold after that.
Yeah, so and there's then, also that.
So now I'm trying to do everything, because she told me daily, let the world hear you, darling, let the world hear you. And all I wanted to do was dance. I didn't want to sing. And I would cry when she'd make me sing the songs at the dancing school. And when I turned 18, I went, I think I want to sing. And she was just over the moon. And now I have this bracelet that's been made for me in her handwriting. It says, let the world hear you, darling. My friend had it made.
Sweet.
And she believed in me. She named me after a French singer, and like she always wanted me to sing. So I'm doing it for you, Mum.
I think there's an appropriate song that we should play right now, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Let's do that. In fact, this is called Thank You. And as I understand it, this is a tribute to your mum before she passed, or recently after she passed.
This is after she passed. My mother was a dancer on Bandstand in Australia, right. And I recently found all this wonderful footage from her doing like the twist and all this great dancing. And I thought, I need to write a song about that, not a sad one, about her awesomeness. And she's quite well known in Australia in the industry because she's had a dance studio for 53 years. So I wrote the song, Mama, I Want to Thank You, and we took it back to the 60s because that's what she did, and she's on the cover.
Yeah. We'll post a picture of that as well here. And ladies and gentlemen, here you go.
I want to see you on the floor, dancing ponies through my door. Want to see that great big smile. Taught me all the little things I needed to know.
Very true.
So, I'm sure
your mother heard that loud and clear.
No doubt.
How could she not?
And obviously, we just posted a picture of that as well. And maybe, hey, we can give a copy away before we
you
leave
think?
Today.
Does that would be good? Nice.
Before we do that, we ought to do a live arts calendar, let people know about some other things going on in the Southland.
Yeah, let's do that.
My Son the Waiter, A Jewish Tragedy, is the hilarious tale of Brad Zimmerman's struggle to fulfill his dream and make it as a comedic actor in New York. The critically acclaimed one-man show hit is one part stand-up, one part theatrical, and all parts uproarious.
If you've ever longed for something, if you ever desired it with all your heart, if you were willing to wait tables for 29 years to pursue your dream, My Son the Waiter will give meaning to your life.
Come and see the show that the New York Times calls delicious, distinctly original, and powerfully poignant. Brad Garrett of Everybody Loves Raymond says it's a must-see, it's hysterical, heartfelt, timely, and poignant. I cried, I laughed, I forgot where I parked.
My Son the Waiter is on stage now at the Colony Theater, lovely theater in Burbank, California, through June 10th. For tickets or more information, call 855-448-7469 or visit mysonthewaiter.com.
Obviously, and that's such a great thing. Obviously, go to performingartslive.com. You can find more about that show and all the other great shows going on here in the Southland. They're one of the best resources for that out there. Of course, now we are very pleased to welcome back our discussions with the very talented Danielle DeAndre. And we wanted to talk a little more about kind of what's going on. So, as you started your career, you began it before you guys were married, correct?
Oh, yeah. No, I started my career in Australia a long time ago.
Right.
As a kid.
People can still find some of your tracks under your maiden name before you came
to
DeAndre.
Yeah, but a lot of them have been converted into my new name.
Okay.
So I had some singles, and I was signed very young in London to Epic Sony, and I had three dance singles.
Wow.
And I was the first Australian artist to break the dance R&B chart, apparently. And they did very, very well. Like number two and stuff like that. And that, you can see those clips on YouTube. They're all still there. And then I went back to Australia and did a TV show for a few years. And then after that, came over here.
And then now that you've been DeAndrea, you've had a lot of success under that name. And people can find most of your stuff.
I think it's nice, Danielle DeAndrea. It's like lots of D's. Because where I come from, Australia, I'm half Lebanese. So my name was Danielle Gaha. But it's actually Danielle Jaha. But in Australia, they say Gaha.
How funny.
I got Galah my whole life, or Galah. So, you know, it was really nice to Danielle DeAndrea. It's like, sounds so, ooh.
I started looking under all this different stuff, and it was almost like you'd had two careers because there was a ton of high press about you before as well. So it's cool to see kind of the phases that your career went through. Now, my question to you is, in life, as you kind of go through different musical phases, is it hard to define yourself and still, you know, keep your voice, your true voice, while you have such different music through different phases of your life? Is that a difficult thing to do?
Well, I love so many different genres. I grew up listening to Stevie Wonder and Ella Fitzgerald. They were the two that I listened to.
Course.
I didn't really learn singing. I just sang to them every day. And Stevie Wonder was how I learned to sing. And I teach as well now, and I teach a lot of children, and that's what I teach them, all that hard stuff to ad-lib, to have agility, you know, pitch, tone, and time. They're really, really important.
Of course.
But I think when I first started, I was listening to everybody around me and doing what I was told. So when I was signed in London, they wanted to make a dance artist of me. And because I could do it, I just went along with it. But I also could sing with an orchestra.
Sure.
And I could tap dance. They just didn't know what to do with me. They didn't know where to put me. So they had three different MDs of Sony. And every time a new MD would come, everybody would get dropped, except they kept keeping me.
MD is the musical director?
The musical director of the whole Sony. And so they kept me for four years. They spent £450,000 but never released the album. So I look at it as, you know, it was a good experience, so I did that kind of stuff. And then I did a duet in Australia, which was all pop. And then I did a full jazz album. My first record that I released was called You Don't Know Me, and it's all songs from the American Songbook. And I have to get a copy of that to you. We did it in 2 days live with a band in Australia. And that's when I went, I think I really want to do the solo thing. So I made that record. Then I made another record called Chocolate for Holly, which was electronic R&B sort of vibe. And then I moved here and started here. So I do a lot of R&B, but I really love jazz. They're my two top genres that I love, and I do them both. I love to do them both.
Well, our phones are lighting up here, people wanting to come in and talk to you, obviously.
Really?
But and we can't do that today, unfortunately. We're kind of tight on time. But can you tell me a little bit about where people can find you and who can zip out and see your social media and that sort of thing?
Yes, well, I have a website, which is brand new, and Kyle's designed it, and it's DanielleDeAndrea.com, and it's spelt with a double N. My name, my mother changed the spelling of Danielle because she didn't want the Australians to say Danielle. So she put another N in it. So
to make them say the whole name.
Yes, so it's Danielle DeAndrea, DaNielleDeAndrea, DeAndrea, DeAndrea.com.
Wow.
And I'm on all the different sites to buy the record.
iTunes, Spotify.
iTunes, Spotify, Bandcamp. Tidal. All of them. Yeah. And I'm hoping to be coming back in July. Well, what do you mean? I am coming back in July, but I'd like to do some shows and do your room.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's start with opening your room. Let's
Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, for those of you that don't know.
A great place, that's
Sterling
right.
Sterling Night at Sterling's.
That's right.
So I had a jingle for that. Right on the spot. Oh, yeah.
And obviously, the Federal is such a great place because the food and the drinks are every bit as good as the entertainment, yeah. Which is
and
a nice
you love
thing
your
well.
Vanilla Manhattan.
Oh, man,
sir,
my mouth is getting watery.
What's a vanilla
this time
Manhattan?
it's a Manhattan, just a Manhattan usually served up, but it's got a little dose of vanilla in it. Best drink in town. Best drink in L.A.
So, wow.
Yeah, one of my favorites. Well, so as you start this tour, where's the first stop and where can people in Germany find you? Do you have any place where you know where people are going
to be? The first place we get to is Stuttgart.
Okay.
All of the places are on my website. I actually can't say all of them.
Yeah. Wow.
So I don't know how to pronounce that, and I don't want to.
You don't want to slaughter
anybody. Yeah.
Well, so if you zip on the website, there's a page there
with
all
page
your
with the tour.
Yeah, tour dates are all there. RSVP. I mean, if people want to, all of the gigs that we have available for pre-sale are the links are on there.
Okay.
For RSVP and pre-sale purchases and
And if people are listening to this on a podcast, what are the dates that you're going to be traveling throughout Europe?
We leave here on the 1st. We start on the 3rd, and we get back on the we finish on the 3rd. So we 3rd of May.
Exactly.
3rd of June.
Yeah.
So essentially, all
month.
Of May.
Yes.
People can find you all throughout Europe. Very cool.
You're giving yourself one day of rest between that flight over there.
Where
you
totally.
Where do you land?
We fly to London and then to Stuttgart, and we land on his birthday.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We'll have dinner
little birthday
together.
Celebration. And
really?
Then straight in.
Off we go.
Yeah.
Showbiz baby.
But you know, we've been prepping it for this for a while, and it's kind of once it starts, it's so exciting for us, really.
Oh,
so
sure.
We kind of run on adrenaline.
London
for the first week
is
super
exciting.
I love London.
It's
wonderful.
It's the only, strangely enough, I've been to many, many places in the world that most people wouldn't go first, and most Americans go to Europe, and I've only been to London. And that's not really considered Europe, is it, England? It's the British Isles.
I guess, I mean, I still consider it, but yes, it's not,
But it sure was, we were there in a very wonderful way. I was representing Andy Gibb at the time, and
Andy Gibb, Xanadu.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, not Xanadu.
He was in Xanadu.
No.
In the movie?
No.
Oh.
Andy Gibb.
Oh, Andy.
The younger.
Olivia Newton-John was
the
in the movie.
But he was too with her. Wasn't he the love interest?
No.
Who played the love interest?
Cliff.
I thought it was Andy Gibb.
And I can't remember his last name.
But that song
he was
that we
a singer.
Love of his.
Oh, I love
that. Tune.
I love
that
song.
We play it all the time.
Andy Gibb.
Shadow Dance.
Shadow Dance. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I was waiting for it.
He was a lovely boy. He just
what a shame.
Had some problems there that he couldn't overcome. But why did I bring him up?
Because you went to London?
Yes. And mm-hmm. we played for Princess Anne.
Oh, wow.
And her charity. And it was a very... I don't think I've ever told this story on this show.
Breaking
but
news
I will,
here on
I'll
State
try
of the Arts,
to
yeah.
make it very short. it was a concert, a benefit concert. It was on the night it was all Australians that were playing it. So Air Supply, all of these people had gathered there.
Air Supply.
Little River Band, probably.
Yeah. And Andy was kind of the big name that people were focusing on. And we were staying at a hotel that was very close by. Where we were going to be playing, and we had to go to to meet Princess Anne first at this event. And Andy's mother, God bless her soul, was with us, and she's very funny. She was a very funny lady, a wonderful sense of humor, and she called me from her room on the night of. And now this is like just a couple hours before we have to be at the event. And the car is coming and so forth. And it's pouring rain.
It can rain this evening. Oh, it's the rain you get wet in, right?
Yeah, now this is in London.
Oh, London. Oh, that's even worse.
So she said, Michael, Michael, she said, when am I supposed to wear to this thing tonight, you know? And I said, what do you mean? It's a formal occasion. You're meeting the Princess Anne. And she said, love, she said, I don't have anything. I didn't pack anything like that. No one told me I should. Anyhow, I ended up having to. What she had on, which she thought was appropriate, was skin-tight leotards.
Wow.
And a blouse. That's what she was going to go over in. It was a dressy blouse, but
Still
is right. And this is now, you know, after 6 o'clock, and we're in a hotel that has a boutique, and I am appealing to the general management to open the boutique and let me buy something for her to wear appropriately, which they did. And that's how we went over. And then I was getting dressed in the meantime, and I didn't like the room that I was first given, and so I asked if I could have a different room, and they had someone come and repack what I had unpacked and make a move when we were at rehearsal earlier in the day.
Wow, there you go.
When I got there and fixed Barbara's problem, I was putting on my tux, and I went to get my dress shoes, and I couldn't find them.
Oh, no.
I couldn't find them anywhere. I had no shoes. And I called the front desk, and they said, they've tried to look for them. They couldn't find them. They said, what size are you? And I gave them my shoe size. And I said, listen, no, I have to be in, we have to be in a car in 5 minutes.
Right.
And I went downstairs, and I saw one of their employees coming in for work, and he was an older man, a bellman. Bellman, and I looked the size of his feet.
And he had some good shoes on, right?
Well, I said, look at my feet.
I said, how big are your feet? And he said, you know, the 10 and a half. I said, that's my size. I said, I need to borrow your shoes. I'll give you $50. I'll give you $100.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, well, I have to work. I said, no, man, you don't understand. And he gave me his shoes, and they were totally scuffy and not even cleaned up, and I didn't care at that point. I mean, it was what it was.
Yeah.
And got into the car. We go literally one block is all we went, and we get into the reception line. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they come up before, and they ask a little bit about who you know, your background and who you are, but just enough to go back to the princess and put it in her ear as you are arriving
yes.
in front of her. She was very taken with Andy, and she had a very kind, you know, word or two with him. And then I was next, and she did the same. She was so polite with me. And Andy turned around and said, what'd she say to you, mate? What'd she say? I said, she loved my shoes. I said,
perfect.
She said, boom, boom. I love your shoes.
That's good.
Did you ever get them back to the guy?
Yes.
So now,
and
my
did you find yours? Were they
yes.
in your other room?
Yes.
Did they
yes,
make
they
shoes?
Did.
Yeah.
But
my
of course,
favorite
it was
part
late.
Of that story is that somewhere there's an old British dude going, did I ever tell you the story about the time a man tried to steal my shoes?
Yes.
Just telling his,
just
he's probably 105 now.
Yeah.
Just telling that to his grandchildren.
Exactly.
It's got to be the greatest moment of his
yeah,
life.
Right?
So, hey, we should give away an album.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Let's do it. In fact, we have a couple of these. So
how are we going to do that? We're going to go to
let's do Facebook.
By email?
Let's do Facebook.
Facebook? Okay.
I can't get on email all the time anymore. Plus, with all the spam, I've stayed away from email lately. We're going to do Facebook. So, Facebook, State of the Arts. You go to our page. You'll see Michael and I's picture right up there at the top. You drop us a note, hopefully a private message, but we'll also accept posts on the page as well. Just say, hey, I'd like to win the album today. The album is called The Call. So, as long as you use the words The Call, we'll send you to the first, let's say, five people. We're going to send out five of these. The first five private messages or posts on our page that we get, we're going to send you a digital copy of The Call, the entire album, and get some real buzz going about this great project and the tour that you're starting out on here. Lots of good stuff. So go to our Facebook page,
yes.
State of the Arts, and drop us a note or a post on the page, and we'll get that out to you ASAP. In fact, I just took a picture of one of them. It's ready to go. You may get it before we go off the air today.
Yeah?
Real-time life here in 2018, right? That's right.
Crazy what we can do.
So obviously, lots of cool stuff going on. I think we should have them play us out.
Yes.
In a moment, but
before we do that, we cannot
miss.
Yeah. And now, embarrassing moments.
We cannot let you go without you telling us possibly an embarrassing moment during performance. Does anything pop
so
to
many.
Mind?
I have so many.
Right.
What pops into mind first is my very first big tour. I got flown to London to tour with, to be a backing singer for a very big artist over there. And he was Australian act, but he's a big artist in London. And I was the girl that got picked to sing backings and also to sing the duet with him and the solo. And the solo I did was I Want You Back by the Jackson 5. And we did a 9-month tour, and we finished at Wembley, 15,000 screaming children. I thought I was fantastic. I get back home to Australia. My mate rings up and says, do you want to do a gig at the pub? I'm like, yeah. I go to the pub on a Sunday afternoon. I'm on stage doing the same song that I just did at Wembley in front of 15,000 people, and nobody is listening. And we start, I Want You Back. And this guy comes up and goes, "Excuse me, love, how long are you playing for?"
Oh.
And I went, half an hour. And he goes, "Do you think you could stop after this one? Because The Simpsons is coming on." And I, to myself, went, ego moment right there, right in my place. I
was now, like, Bart's very, very good.
Bart
Simpson's very good.
But I was like, okay, you win. There's more of you than me, and you want to watch The Simpsons, that's fine.
That's
but
brutal.
It was really good for me. Yeah. It was good for me.
And that it goes to show, I mean, what a hit, you know, in the other part of the country. I mean, in another country, but then you go home, and people don't have that continuity to know it and have heard it and that sort of thing, and it just didn't play as well.
Nah, it doesn't. They don't care back home either.
I guess
you can't be that
so
good
fun.
If you're Australian. No. And don't tell us that you are either, otherwise we'll pull you down.
Wait a minute, you had to stop singing to let the TV show?
Wow. No, he wanted that. I stopped my set. I was doing a whole set, and he said, "Would you mind stopping after this song because The Simpsons is coming on
on television?"
Yeah.
Wow.
Because they had a big screen.
Wow.
And I'm doing, you know. Oh, baby, I'm singing my heart out.
I'm rocking it.
Oh, in the solo. Yes, can I help you?
Dun, dun,
you
dun, dun,
stop?
Dun.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So it was like this. Ooh, shot through the heart.
And yet you survived, and
I
now
survived.
Great things ahead.
Yeah,
go check for
now,
sure.
Now, Kyle, last time Ernesto Rivas was here, I believe he told us the time of his guitar. He lost a string mid-song during a guitar solo and had to fake his way through it. You got anything that's ever happened to you as a guitar player?
Ah, jeez. To pinpoint
he's
one.
Like, I never make mistakes because I'm perfect
one.
And nobody ever asked me to stop.
Well,
so.
Diodario endorsement, but fortunately, knock on wood, I very rarely break strings.
Nice. Well, now you've known Ernesto for a lot of years, yeah?
Yeah, a lot of years, man.
And James as well.
Yeah,
have
yeah.
you guys ever jammed
25
together?
Years. Yeah, of course.
What a cool
I
thing.
Mean, Squeeze, yeah, I call him Squeeze. It's an old nickname. But James Orbison.
I'm not going to ask the story where that came from.
No, don't.
We got a rating on iTunes,
that's
brother.
That's right,
so.
Yeah. We don't have enough time for that one. But, yeah, so James and those guys I've grown up with, I've played with them in so many different sort
cool.
of, you know, groupings of our buddies. And, yeah, it's just a wonderful I'm fortunate enough to have met a lot of good guys that I'm still 25 plus years later,
that's great,
you know, working with and friends with, you know, these guys.
But in any of your gigs, anything you've ever done as a player or anything, it doesn't have to be in relative to music necessarily. It could be something else that was relative to your many interests. It could be your carpentry work.
Well, you know what? I can tell you about the broken leg story I just had, because that was kind of embarrassing. But,
that's a good headline.
Know. Sounds like it'll work.
I used to tour with Ani DiFranco, fantastic, you know, folk artist from back in the day. She's still going hard. But I came back from a tour with her, and we are now living in Nashville. So flew back there, and my cousin from who lives in Seattle was meeting me in Nashville for a week of hanging and whatnot. And we went out. We did our music thing. I showed them, you know, Broadway a bit, and you know
they
the
bar-hopped.
Scene there. We bar hopped basically. We you know overlooked eating. We got into a bottle of Bullet, and what I had done prior to leaving is I got home and I was just, you know, in that headspace from tour, and opened up my bag, and later that night when I after I went to sleep, everything was perfectly fine, and I woke up the next morning with a broken leg.
Wow!
And I woke up to pee, I believe, in the middle of the night, and stepped into my open bag, which I just left there because you know, I was used to getting out of the bus at this angle, and so
right.
I just stumbled into this thing
and snapped your leg.
Completely snapped.
But then
you
went back to bed for 5 hours and slept
yeah,
on it.
That's a man who likes his sleep.
That's
my Aussie claim to fame. All of our Aussie buddies are like, yeah, mate, because I actually woke up, tried to step on it, and was like, something's wrong. I'm too tired for this. Went back to sleep for about 5-6 hours.
Wow. Well, thank goodness it wasn't more serious.
No,
I mean,
5-6 hours
could be crazy bad.
Yeah,
wow.
It was fine. But that's, I mean, that's probably the biggest embarrassing story that I've, you know, I mean, what happened? You broke your
so
leg
funny.
In your own bedroom?
Oh.
How? It's just stupid. But.
Certainly qualified.
Did you play places when you were there? Did you like Nashville, first of all?
Oh, Nashville's
love Nashville. Wonderful.
Yeah. Love Nashville.
I mean,
great
we're
city.
Still there. We got a place over there in Nashville. We come back and forth. I mean, I think that now we're sort of doing
so the Bluebird is an actual place.
The Bluebird's beautiful.
It's a wonderful
there.
Place.
It's lovely.
Nashville is so small. I mean, I grew up in Los Angeles, so going to Nashville is, everything is really
compact. Yeah, yeah.
It's a beautiful scene. It's the scene is different from, in this the camaraderie is is so much stronger there. Mm. But now I feel that the camaraderie in Los Angeles is again...
Things have shifted here in the last 2 years. We're noticing right. with venues and right. people yeah. that are playing live, and there's a really good scene going on. And when we were here before, I couldn't find that.
Yeah.
And
the musicianship in Los Angeles...
Really, there's a lot of people moving here
is really
from New York.
Come up, I think, in the last few years quite a bit, in my opinion. You
cool.
know, it's wonderful. I don't know. I don't want to take up all the time.
No. Yeah. We have time.
Okay.
But I asked that because I was a fan of the TV series Nashville.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Nashville's
too.
Great. I mean, that was...
I love that show.
It was great,
oh,
wasn't it?
It was
like a nighttime soap. You know, we know that. But it was exciting.
And it really kind of opened up a window for... I mean, Nashville kind of really started buzzing after that show. And, I mean, for the last 4 or 5 years, there's been an average of 80 to 100 people a day moving. Nashville.
Well, you know, I represented Scott Hamilton, the great Olympic champion,
yeah. for
almost all of his career. But
wow.
he and his wife actually, Scott was raised in Denver and then met his wife in Nashville
mm-hmm.
when he was on tour. And Danny Thomas's son
oh.
introduced him. He was actually dating this girl, Danny Thomas's son, Tony Thomas. And but they were at the end of that dating period, and Scott was very drawn to her and asked Tony if he minded if he could ask her out. So anyhow, they did get married. They had two children of their own.
Wow.
And out here, he had moved here to Los Angeles after many years back in Denver, and they decided to go back to that part of the country in Nashville, primarily to give their children a better education
mm-hmm.
than is offered in Los
mm-hmm.
Angeles.
Right.
They were out at Sherwood Country Club is where they
yeah.
lived
right.
out in Calabasas. So he loves it out there, and they love it out there, and they're
yeah.
very entrenched in that whole community of, as you said, people, you know, very welcoming. And
yeah, it's a beautiful
Brad Paisley
place.
Is,
yeah.
you know, he's hanging with Brad.
They're all and Vince Gill, they're all,
yeah.
all around. Vince
yeah.
Gill does a gig every Monday night with the Time Jumpers.
Right.
It's $20, and
yeah.
he's done it for the last 18 years, and he's only missed two when he's been on tour.
Wow.
And you can go every Monday night, and it's packed.
It's just yeah. incredible.
Till 11 o'clock yeah. at night, not, and it's a
Paul
Monday
Franklin
night. You know,
yeah.
it's just beautiful.
And, just
they love their music
yeah.
there.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
Exciting.
Those guys.
But you're right about us having a resurgence.
Well, absolutely. I'm so happy.
Because in the 40s and so forth, there were lots of
oh,
major
of
clubs
yeah.
to play.
Oh,
the
yeah,
Coconut
absolutely.
Grove and the Moulin Rouge
yeah.
and all of these
yeah.
big houses.
It's really amazing to me. I when we left, I wholeheartedly was saying I don't think it's ever coming back to
right.
what we once knew it to be. And I was wrong. I'm so happy to have been wrong about that. I mean, because it's a wonderful city in a lot of ways. And I find myself, it's funny for me to say that, because when we left, I grew up here, so mm-hmm. I was kind of really over it.
Right.
But, you know, it's...
Now you're not.
It's, it, yeah.
Well, you came back with some different energy.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, we've obviously
pushed
our time limit a lot today, and
oof,
what a lot
sorry.
Of material we have. Are you kidding? Such good stuff to talk about.
Thank
you guys.
For
this is
us.
Amazing. What a pleasure. Come back and see us when you come back. Tell us
absolutely.
How the tour went, okay?
Absolutely. I would love
and
to.
And then
thank
we'll
you
see
so
at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. We'll send you a copy of this radio program.
Right.
Okay,
you
wonderful.
Can put it on your website.
Absolutely,
and
fabulous.
Anybody in Europe, anybody can listen to it.
And we still have a couple of those digital downloads left, so drop us a private message on Facebook if you're listening via the podcast. Maybe still have a chance to get that. Visit the Pantages' website. See what's going on there. Obviously, all the great theaters around Southern California, including the Colony Theater, which has My Son the Waiter, a Jewish tragedy going up, coming up here, and lots of good stuff. Stop by performingartslive.com and go see a play this week, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you guys going to play for us here?
This song's called Sequins on a Sunday Afternoon, and it's about loving the life that you're living and wearing your good stuff on any day of the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, Danielle DeAndrea and her husband Kyle. Here we go.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Keep some sparkle hanging on your dresser, a ribbon for your hair, or just because. I'm a fan of fairy tales and all things make believe, and what I feel ain't breaking any laws, because you bake your favorite cookies in the winter and teach yourself to sing a part or two. Love this life you're living and wear your sequins on a Sunday afternoon. If it's make believe,
Then grab a cloud and start to dream. It's easier 'cause chocolate-covered kisses do taste better. But only when you're reaching for the moon. Love this life you're living and wear your sequins on a Sunday afternoon. Chocolate-covered kisses do taste better, but only when you're reaching for the moon. Love this life you're living, and don't grow old too soon. Wear your sequins on a Sunday afternoon. Oh yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.